we do periodically hear about calls for reported bomb threats, things like that. That's got to be something, irregardless of the situation, if it's a threat or it materializes into something where you've got to, you know, defuse a device or take a device out and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. No matter what the situation is, if somebody reports a potential bomb threat, you guys respond to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, the majority of the time we do that. Also, or it ultimately falls on that whatever agency that happens in. Yeah. Say it happens in Moorhead or Fargo, that those officers, they're going to, you know, mitigate that and try to figure out if it is a viable threat or not.
Sure.
You know, for example, we've gotten a threat. This was several years ago at the airport, and they said it was in the parking ramp. Well, there is no parking ramp. There, at that time, there was no parking ramp at the airport.
Yeah.
So we could kind of easily work through that. We did assist a little bit on that one. But, yeah, it all depends on the nature of the threat and the viability. And if there is any suspicious items found there, then we're definitely going to respond.
Okay.
Nick, this is Bonnie. Oh, I was going to ask a question here, Jess, about...
Yep.
To be a member of, say, the bomb squad, I imagine you've got some pretty intensive training. Maybe some of your members have military background because, I mean, if Ronnie and I are on the scene there and we don't know what the heck is going on, you could end up, like, defusing a bomb and pulling the wrong wire or whatever.
Yeah.
And blowing stuff up. How intensive is the training to be a member of the bomb squad?
Yeah, that's a good question. So once you're selected on the team, generally it's 2 years before you'll even go to basic. Basic is held in Huntsville, Alabama. FBI is the main entity that does all the bomb squad training in the United States, and that basic training is 6 to 7 weeks in Huntsville.
Okay.
And that training. Thanks for asking that question, Bonnie. The training for that is, like Nick said, when he says intensive, there's a lot of math and different physics and different things that go into that training. It's not an easy training to pass. It's a very tough course. I think there's some people that maybe don't pass it from time to time. But it is very intensive, and there are a lot of things that we all could imagine that they would need to know to be able to keep themselves safe in a situation where there could be explosive themselves or anyone else. In a situation where there, you know, could potentially be an explosive device. So the training that they go to when he's talking, he's kind of being a little bit humble there. It is very intensive, and I think it's very stressful until they end up passing it, you know, at the end of the completion of the course. So,
Jess, I've been around long enough in this business doing news that I think back in the day, even with the sheriff's office, it was whoever was crazy enough to put on the big Gumby suit. And I don't know if you guys still wear those, Nick, or if you guys are using drones, robots, electronics. How has it evolved, I guess, over the years?
Well, they're definitely an evolution in equipment, yes. The robots, so we kind of across the bomb world, they use a theory called start remote, stay remote. So we're going to start with a robot. We're going to do everything we can remote until we can't anymore. And then at that point, we will put on a bomb suit. They've upgraded over the years, the technology in the suit. There's fans in there, so it's not quite as obnoxious as it once was. But for the most part, we do everything we can remote until we can't anymore.
Very wise. A safety factor right there.
Yeah,
you just never know.
Absolutely.
And Nick, maybe do you want to talk a little bit about how many call-outs you guys do on average per year and what those call-outs typically entail, the different types of things you guys respond to?
Right. Between 65 and 75, I looked at the last couple of years, and it seems like a lot, but those aren't actual devices. So one big thing that we do is ordnance recovery. For example, ammunition. We don't want ammunition to end up in landfills. So at local police departments, you can turn in ammunition. Maybe that's no longer good, or, you know, they found at a relative's that isn't used. we don't want that just kind of sitting around, and definitely don't want it in a landfill. So that is one of our missions, is that we collect that and we destroy it properly.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I guess that was something I was unaware that happened. So if people got maybe a family member who had a lot of ammunition or whatever, they passed
away. Grenades, yeah. We hear stories like that every once in a while.
Yeah, that you guys, people can bring that stuff in and have it properly disposed of. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the many. Oh, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
Yep, if you want to speak to Cass, I know in Moorhead and Clay, that's we have at the law enforcement center, we do accept it there. And then when it does come to actual military ordnance, we may respond to it, but we also work closely with the EOD team at the Air Guard to turn over any military items if they show up.
For sure.
Yeah, so typically, as we kind of started this conversation, so they could be used in that capacity, and I think that's probably a majority of their call-outs, but then they could also be used under the SWAT umbrella as well. And how that would typically work is, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks here, Ronnie, if we have an individual that is potentially barricaded in a structure and they're not coming out, bomb plays a crucial role in that as well. I know that sounds a little weird, but through the use of their robot and different equipment that they can utilize to inspect explosive devices out on different scenes, we can also utilize that same equipment to help us potentially get a visual inside of a residence to determine where that person that's barricaded in the residence is in the residence, and maybe what type of weapons they have involved. So involved in the situation. So there have been times where bombs been utilized to use a robot in that fashion as well. So they kind of play you know, a lot of different roles and have a lot of different responsibilities, both in underneath that SWAT umbrella and then separately, like we just talked about.